tonight. I asked for that song because we're talking about that God is enough. He's enough in Christ alone. I need nothing else. I have nothing else. I can trust nothing else. And it is God that is the most important. He don't fail. Think about that. He don't fail. He can't fail. Now that's a vast difference. He don't fail, that's good. He can't fail, that's God. All right? And I'm glad for that tonight. Well, we do again appreciate. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Let me just tell you what God did for me. I was at work, and I was talking to the elderly lady needed some help really bad. And I was like, okay, so I called for Drew, because he's always there if I need him. No answer. So I called Brother Rick, no answer. Called Bill, no answer. I'm like, God, please help me help her. So I found Drew some more, because he's staying with his mom again. If you've lost your mom, or if your mom's been sick, you know what a burden that is. But Peach Mark helped me out anyway. And then God sent Matt and Paisley to help us out too. And the lady got taken care of. But my boss was sitting there with me, and she's like, is that your pastor? And I'm like, yes, it is. She said, he's tender. Mark? Yeah. He is. I mean, he's rough. He's tender. He's giving. And I'm so blessed that we have our church family. Yeah. We're so lucky. You know, and people do watch. Yeah. She's like, you guys arranged for her to go to morning? I said, I didn't. I just reached her in, and she goes, and his mom sent us to eat? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it don't matter. He still takes it. And that was important to
him. Yeah.
You're welcome. Where's Rebel? Go. Yeah.
Pastor's family. I have that as the other side of the family. And that's so sad. And
We appreciate that. It's been a good 20 years. It's not always been on the mountaintop, has it? But we've made her 20. We'll see what the Lord has in the future here. I can't help but get tickled at you, Kelly. Rebel tells me I'm brutal. You tell me I'm tender. Jeremy said I was an encourager, and I ain't going to say what some of the rest of you said. But I appreciate the comments and the confidence, and I want to pastor as long as I'm effective. I'll never quit preaching, but I want to pastor as long as I'm effective. And when I can't be effective, I need to get out of the way and let somebody else do it. And so when I'm not effective, you let me know. And you chunk me out, like Eddie White always talks about, just get a hold of me and chunk me out somewhere. And that's the way it'll be. Try to help you tonight. If you let me again, real quick, we're not gonna tarry long. We got several scripture, but I want to help you. And I got something I want to show you. It might be a minute long, maybe a minute and a half long. I want to show you something. If it'll work, if it don't work, we won't do it. All right, but I want to show you that here in just a minute. I want us to know God. I want us all to know God. I want us to know God well. I don't want us to know about God. I was challenged here a month ago or so about preaching the Word or preaching about the Word. And I had to reevaluate some things a month or two ago and look to see if I was preaching the Word or preaching about the Word. And Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. He didn't say preach about the Word. He said preach the Word. And that's what I want to do. Now, we got to teach about the Word. We do have to do that. But when I preach, I want to preach the Word. Because that's where the power is at. That's what's going to change our lives. Now, I'm going to stay on you, and so is Brother Rick. We're going to stay on you to read your Bible. You're not going to get any help if you don't read your Bible. We can't help you but so much. We can't help you with so much. We're not always there. And we can't help you anyhow. All right? But the Bible can. You've got to read your Bible. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're old. You've got to read your Bible. And you say, I don't understand it. You keep reading it. And me and Rick, he teased me years ago. He caught me napping in my office one day. And he said, what are you doing? I said, studying. And he grinned. You know, he didn't say that. He just grinned. And I said, osmosis is the thing I was doing. I'd had my Bible laying on my chest, letting it just soak in. I was asleep and just let it soak in. All right. But anyway, the Word of God will help us. And we've got to know who the Lord is. I can't know who God is without looking in His Bible. And He don't change. He don't move. He don't vary. He don't sleep. He don't slumber. He don't fail. He can't fail. He can't sin. He can't neglect us because He promised He wouldn't. So He can't. He can't go against His Word. Remember that. He can't go against His Word. So you can't do nothing to make Him neglect you because He said, I will never forsake you. You can't do nothing to make Him neglect you. Because He's bound by His Word. Everything's about this Word. And it's not broken. I mean, we can't tell you enough. That's why it's so important to have a Bible. That's why it's so important. And when times get rough, and we're alone, and we have problems, we got to use the Bible. Now, hear me. I need God, but God don't need me. God does not want my counsel. He don't want my opinion. If He wants my help, He'll ask me to do something. But it's not to help Him, it's to help me. It's like the old preacher said that Doug Fisher was talking about. He had his boy out there fishing, and we've all done this. I've took Landon and Hannah and done this very thing, and Micah, when they've been there with me fishing, we put a worm on the hook ourselves, and they're holding the pole. We cast the pole. And they're holding the pole. We fill a bite and we hook the fish. And then we help them and they reel it in and we say, wow, look at the fish you caught. And they had really nothing to do with it, but they were holding the pole. Can I tell you, that's about all God wants us to do, is just hold the pole. He does the rest. But we got to learn to let Him do it. All right? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I fail. I make mistakes every day. I leave things undone. I do things I shouldn't. I think things I shouldn't. I'm just like you, okay? And sometimes I nose in God's business. You ever nose in God's business? Think about that. Have you ever been just kind of just... Now, listen to me, God. Listen to me. Take my advice. Now, I've been around. Yeah. I'm talking to an everlasting God, and I've been around. Right? Think about it. That's how we live. So I want to help you tonight. So we're going to look at some things. Let me pray, and then I've got a few comments. I want to show you something. All right? Father, I come tonight. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your power. I need your cleansing. I need your touch. Lord, may the Word of God go forth tonight as you want it to. May it have free course. May you empower it even more tonight. And Lord, help us go from here knowing that you are enough in every situation, God. In every situation, you're enough. Thank you for being the God that's enough. Help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, listen carefully. There's many times, see if you can relate to any of this tonight. Sometimes we get mad at God. Now, people say, well, I don't get mad at God. Well, there's other people get mad at God. There's people in the Bible that got mad at God. Mary and Martha got mad at God because God didn't do, Christ in the flesh, didn't do what they thought he ought to do. And all of us are guilty at times because God don't do what we think he ought to do concerning a loved one or concerning a situation. Lazarus was sick. Jesus didn't show up. Lazarus died. Then Jesus showed up. Mary and Martha meet him and say, why'd you let our brother die? And he said, I'm the resurrection and life. It wasn't worrying him. Y'all understand that? He told them, if you believe, I am the resurrection and life, I'm going to raise him up. You just got to believe that. Everybody understand what I'm saying there? See, he wasn't concerned because he knew who he is. They were mad because they didn't know who he was. They called him Christ. They knew he said he was God. But it's just like us. We believe, but we have unbelief. Everybody still with me? So we get upset with God. Sometimes we refuse to be comforted. Sometimes we go through something, we need God's help, and we're like Jacob of old. When Joseph died, he refused to be comforted. That's what the scripture says. And Jacob refused to be comforted. All right? Sometimes we won't let God help us. Sometimes we get mad at the way he does it, and then sometimes we won't let him help us. Huh? We won't let him help us. Sometimes we refuse to believe like Thomas. Thomas walked with him, talked with him, prayed with him, ate with him, watched him do all the miracles, watched him die. But when he arose, he said, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or not. He watched him do everything else. Listen, we believe, but yet we have unbelief. All right? Now, I'm not condemning us for that. I'm just telling that's the way we are. But we got to realize that he's the God that's enough. He is who he said he is. He is. All right? Now, sometimes we pray. All right? And the thing about this, and we trust. We pray and we trust. We go to prayer. We'll meet as a church, and we'll trust and we pray. All right? And then when the answer comes to the door, we don't believe it. Is there not an example of that in the book of Acts? When Peter was in jail, and they was at Rhoda's house, and they was praying. And when the Lord let Peter out, Peter knocks on the door. They said, well, you ain't Peter, he's in jail. Well, that is in their prayer. I mean, we're like, we believe, and we pray, and then when the answer comes, we say, nah, it didn't happen. Ain't going to happen. That's the way we are. That's where we are. Because we got to have our hand in stuff. Huh? We got to have our hand. We got to nose in God's business instead of just trusting Him. Huh? Instead of just trusting Him. We've got to let God have His way. Now, you think about that. And I'm not condemning us. I'm just telling you that's the way we are. We're going to have to trust the Lord. All right? Now, we'll show you this. And if this ain't us, I don't know who is. All right? See if you can do it there. See if it'll work. Not yet.
Feels good. It feels good, Jesus. You are taking the wheel. You're good. You don't need me. You want a snack. You want to stop for a little. You don't want a snack. You're good. You know, it is 55. It is 55 here. Well, we're at your base. We're at your base. It's fine. No, it's good. Okay, now this exit I just thought that when I said Jesus take the wheel, we would take turns with the driving. That we would just, you know, you would drive a little, I would drive a little, and we would be. I thought this was going to be a little bit more collaborative, a little bit more. You know what? I'm just going to zip it. I'm going to zip. This feels good. It feels good.
Is that us or not? Yeah, we can go 55. We can go faster. Well, maybe at your pace. There's an exit I know about up here. Let's take it. Is that not us? Huh? Is that not us when it says, I thought when I was going to let you do the driving that you was going to let me drive some too. Now, is that us or not? Play it again. Play it again. I thought that's the way it's going to be. Now, if that might be some of the truest things I've ever saw. Let's look at it again. Go ahead.
Jesus, you are taking the wheel. You're good. You don't need me. You want a snack. You want to stop for a little. You don't want a snack. You're good. You know, it is 55. It is 55 here. Well, we're at your base. We're at your base. It's fine. No, it's good. Okay, now this exit, I just thought that when I said Jesus take the wheel, we would take turns with the driving. That we would just, you know, you would drive a little, I would drive a little, and we would be. I thought this was going to be a little bit more collaborative. A little bit more. You know what? I'm just going to zip it. I'm going to zip. This feels good.
That's that. That's a message in itself right there. Right or not? Yeah. You know why we're like that? The men know why we're, because we don't believe He's enough. Right. We don't believe He's enough. And He's enough tonight. Right. He's enough. We don't need nothing else. So let's look at some things right quick, all right? We're going to have to know God. We looked at some things this morning to know the true God, the one God, the God that is real. Huh? Let's look in Isaiah chapter 45. We started there this morning, so we'll go back there tonight. Isaiah 45. And I'm going to try to preach. Cheryl told me that I talked too fast this morning, that I read too fast, she told me. So, well, actually, she sent me a text. She didn't tell me that. I reckon she's afraid I would growl at her, so she just sent me a text. But I wasn't going to growl at her anyhow. But she said, you read too fast. Slow down. All right, so y'all just going to have to learn to listen fast. All right? Because I can read a lot faster than I do to you. So Isaiah 45, all right? Verse 5. Maybe I need to read like I'm first grade or something. I am the Lord. The Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. All right? There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I just want you to know there's nobody else. There's nobody else. Ain't none of us can do the job. It's Him and Him alone. I can't save myself. It's in Christ alone. I can't do none of it. It's got to be the Lord all the way. I don't need Him. That's what I think. No, God, listen, you're busy. I'll do this. But no, I better quit nosing in His business and let Him do it all. I'm His. Right? I'm His. He bought me. I belong to Him. And tonight, we need to understand who this wonderful God is. Well, He's a God who speaks words. That's what we looked at this morning. And I'm glad He speaks words. I'm glad I got a Bible and He speaks words. He's a God who saves and He's a God who sanctifies. All right? But He's also the God that is enough. He is the all-sufficient God. Y'all understand that? You know, look in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, and we're just going to look through some scripture. Let the scripture speak for itself. Can we do that? Let the scripture speak for itself. Genesis chapter 17. Huh? Genesis chapter 17. How about verse 1? The Lord speaking to Abraham here. It says, and when Abram was 99 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. I am the all-sufficient God. I am the all-sufficient one. And if you look up the word sufficient, the very first word to explain the meaning says enough. He's enough. That's El Shaddai, the Almighty God. El Shaddai. All right? Think about that. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God, that the Almighty God that is all sufficient. Huh? That means He's enough. You believe that tonight. You believe He's enough. Now, if you believe it tonight, when the bottom falls out tomorrow, He'll still be enough. When you go down to the funeral home, it'll be enough. When you go up here to the ICU, it'll be enough. When you get your pink slip on the job, He's enough. When you get your cutoff notice in the mail, He's enough. Huh? When you go home and ain't nobody there, He's enough. He's enough. Huh? When the prayer you prayed seemed like it was never answered and the people may be dying saved as far as you know, but He's still enough. He's still enough tonight. He's enough in every situation. We all right with that? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 3? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's see. Let's look here maybe verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. Do you believe that tonight? He's enough. If I don't have no money, He's enough. If I've got $1,000, He's enough. If I ain't got no friends, He's enough. If I got many friends, He's enough. If I have nothing, He's enough. He's enough. Think about that. How about go over to chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12, verse 9. We know this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, we don't even have to read no further and don't have to say about any certain situation. His grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's enough. Are you understanding me? And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's sufficient. We fail to realize to get to know someone, to get to really know them, we've got to be open. We can't be secretive. We can't be. We've got to trust them to really get to know someone. And He's sufficient. He's that way. He is our best friend. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is my high tower. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is everything. You go through the psalm. He's everything. And He's enough. He's enough. I don't have to go to a mountain, shave my head, put on some kind of orange-looking dress and live in solitude to find it. I find it in His Word. I find it in my heart. I find it as He's real in my life tonight. He's everything. He's all. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look here at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That God's able to make it happen. God's able to make everything you got enough. He's able to make His grace enough. It's enough tonight. It's enough. We've been gutted. Most everybody at some time or another in the last years have been gutted here in the church. We've been gutted by a loss of love. We've been gutted by a dread disease. We've been gutted by hurt feelings and all this, you name it. We can just list everything down. We've been gutted in that respect. But He said, I am able to make all my grace abound toward you, and it will be sufficient for everything you need tonight. But see, you've got to believe it. We can say it. We can sing it. We can write it down. But if we don't believe it, then it ain't going to help us. We've got to believe it tonight. We've got to believe it. We still okay? Now, when I think about God being enough and God being my all-sufficient Savior, my all-sufficient God, my all-sufficient friend, my provider, my friend, everything about it. All right? Then I find that He's the God that speaks words to me. He's the God that saves me. He's the God that sanctifies me. And then He's the God who supplies my every need. All right? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 31 and 32. These are all familiar verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that what we need. He knows what we need. Huh? But do we believe He'll take care of it? We'll wait right up to the last minute. You know, many people has preached about George Mueller that had all the orphanages in London and all the things that come through. And he was a thief. George Mueller was a thief. He was a scoundrel. Huh? He got saved. And when he got saved, he started with orphanages, started preaching, and started taking care of orphans, and millions of dollars went through his hands. Never stayed, but went through his hands. He never asked one person for a donation. He depended on God to supply the needs, to the point that they would have nothing to eat, nothing at all to eat. And he would have the orphans set the table and sit down at the table with an empty plate and a fork and a spoon and a cup, and there'd be nothing to put in them. And he would sit there and wait. And they would knock on the door, and strangers would come through with food, and wagons would come through and break down in front of his door, and he supplied them dime after time after time. People said, that's not possible. He knew that God was enough, and he wasn't going to get involved. He wasn't going to solicit money. He wasn't going to ask for nothing. He trusted in Almighty God. I'm here to tell you tonight that God still supplies your need. Understand me, mighty men. God will supply your need. Everything that you need. You don't need nobody else. You need God. He's got to be first. He'll lead people in your direction. He'll work out that you might have jobs. He'll work. But if you don't have nobody, He'll supply your needs, young guys. He'll take care of you. Understand that. He does. He does. Do you believe that tonight? He does. We've got so much that we don't think He can sometimes, because we've got so much that we fret when our bank account gets $1,000. Well, Lord, that's when I'd shout if it had that much in it. Huh? I don't fret if it's minus. Huh? It's been minus so long, I just deal with negative numbers, huh? We all right? Hear me tonight. We got to learn to trust the Lord, to depend on the Lord. He's enough in all His supply. Look in Luke chapter 12. Do you believe that God knows what you need? Huh? Now, He tells us to ask, does He not? He tells us to ask. But the reason we ask is because we know He'll give it. That's our trust in Him. You understand? Look in Luke chapter 12, verse 24. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Huh? Do you not think you're better than a crow? Huh? You not think you're no better than an old crow? Don't have a barn, don't have a cabinet, don't have a pantry. I'm telling you, God can help you. God is enough. He's enough. You say, well, I see a lot of people starving. Well, I'm going to say this, and I don't seem to sound cold. They're ignorant is why they're starving. If you live 10 generations and all of your family starve, I'd move. Right? They keep living in the same desert knowing they can't grow nothing, knowing there ain't no food there. Somebody ought to get them and haul them out of there. Don't keep wasting money sending food over there and letting us fall. Get them out of there. See, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. We're still okay. All right, let's think about this. The God who supplies. Now think about how He supplies. He feeds. Well, how does He feed? Well, Elijah was in the will of God. Now, see, we got to remember, we're not going to trust the Lord if we don't want to walk with the Lord. If we don't want to trust the Lord for salvation and for obedience and to live right, we're not going to trust Him for provision. Everybody understand that? We're not going to have that mindset. Elijah was in the will of God, working for God, doing what God wanted. He went there to the brook. God told him to stay there. Well, there was a drought. He stayed by the brook, and until the brook dried up, he had plenty of water, and the ravens fed him. The ravens fed him. Now, I've heard preachers say, of course, there's no Bible for it. It always sounds good, though, that the crow would slip in the window of Ahab's castle and pull a T-bone steak off and come by and drop it on a rock beside Elijah, and he'd eat off what the ravens brought and took it right off Ahab's castle. Now that all sounds good, but can I tell you, wherever he got it, he was fed well. He said, I want you to go by a widow woman's house. The widow woman is there fast. He went up there and he said, go there, because I have got a woman there that's going to sustain me. Wait a minute. Sustain me. He's the sufficient Savior. He's going to take care of you. He's the God that's enough. And she's going to be able to take care of you. He went to a widow who never had nothing. Wait a minute. She didn't have no groceries. How's she going to take care? But God's involved. And He didn't let the meal barrel go waste. And He didn't let the crucible go waste. Huh? Because God is enough. Is He enough for you tonight? If He ain't enough for you, then you're in the way. If He's not enough for me, I'm in the way. I'm trying to drive. Huh? And it don't work that way. It don't work that way. So He's the God who speaks and the God who saves. He's the God who speaks words and the God who saves and the God who sanctifies. And He's the God who supplies. He's the God who sustains. He's sufficient. He's my sufficient God. My sufficient. He's enough tonight. Huh? I used to fret about money. I used to fret about, and I'd work and work and two jobs, most of the time three jobs. I worked three jobs at a time, trying to, and I never would gain nothing. never would gain nothing. I pastored, I cut timber for Dave, and then I work over at the plant. All at the same time. And never got ahead. Never got ahead. Because I was worried about that dollar bill. I was worried about driving the car. Till I learned, no. Well, now, He takes care of things. That's what I want you to understand. He supplies things. Huh? You can't beat Him. You can't beat Him. Now, not only is the God who supplies, He's the God who soothes. Soothes. Huh? He's soothing. He is soothing. You need a God that is soothing. Huh? Sometimes I just need some soothing. Don't you? Huh? Do you believe that? Do you believe He's calm? He calms? Do you believe He brings calm? Now, we're not just talking about calm and storms and all that. I mean, he does different than that. See, there's something, there's a word that is, it might be spoken, but I don't know how experiencing it is. How about John 14? Gospel of John 14. Is everybody still with me? Yeah. I'm trying to encourage you. Yeah. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm tender, Kelly. I'm brutal, though, Rebel. I'm encouraging, Jeremy. Y'all wearing me out. John 14:27. Look what he says. Peace I leave with you. Now, let me ask you. Do you believe He left you peace? Do you believe that Jesus left you peace? Then do you know where He left it? Are you hunting it? He left it to you. What'd you do with it? Huh? Peace I leave with you. Not all y'all. And then we have to dicker for it and share. No, He said, peace I leave with you. Right? Can I say that again? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. That's a personal thing. That's not, now it's for everybody, but I get peace myself. We still okay? But now it's not as the world giveth. It's not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because He's enough. He's enough tonight. He gives peace. He gives peace. Sometimes we're mad. Sometimes we refuse to be comforted. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we're praying and believing, and the answer's there, and we don't take it. Huh? But can I tell you, He still calms. He gives peace tonight. How about Psalms? There's so much good reading in the Bible. Brother Rick, where do you start and where do you stop? Huh? They know starting place. They know starting place, are they, Dennis? Just read it. It's all good. Huh? You young people. All right, some of you are getting ready to get out of school and you're going to start your own life. You better remember that God's enough. You better remember He's enough. Young guys, y'all better get it in your head now. He's enough. He's enough. He's enough. Parents, teach him He's enough. Teach him. You dedicated that little boy this morning. Teach him that God's enough. Yeah. Teach him that. Now, a lot of that will be helpful if you don't give him everything. You know? Teach him that God's enough. Let's look here at Psalms. We still okay? Psalms 34. Psalms 34. Wonderful Psalm. Wonderful Psalm. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is one of them Psalms you can waller in. Huh? Anybody here got any wallering verses? I'm serious. Look at me. Anybody here got any wallering verses? There's verses in the Bible that you can get in there and waller. I didn't understand that term. There's a verse I always go to, but Miss Hope, when she was having some of her treatments, I went up and visited Miss Hope and a long time ago, and she was having a hard time and had the treatments and everything. And she said, can you read to me some scripture? I said, sure. And she said, I need you to read my wallering verses. And I sat up there and read to her her Waller and verses. And as I read, she'd go through the room shouting. And I was reading. And I don't know what she was wallering in, but I was wallering in the leftovers. I know that. But I tell you, there's scripture you can read, but you've got to read your Bible. God's enough, and you'll know it in this book tonight. You've got to get in this Bible to know Him. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the God that is enough. And He's the God of His Word tonight. Huh? Psalms 34. 34. Let's just drop down around verse 18 for now. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You feel alone when your heart's broken. But you ain't by yourself. You feel like you're, but you're not. See, He's got to be true to His Word tonight. The Lord is nigh to them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Huh? Ain't that wonderful? We got afflictions, but He's a deliverer tonight. Huh? We can enjoy. Huh? It says, He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. God's going to honor His Word. He will not go back on His Word. You understand? If He says He'll do that for you, He will do that for you. Are you hearing me tonight? When He says He'll be near you if you've got a broken heart, then rest assured He's near you if you've got a broken heart. He's there. Huh? We still okay? How about we roll over to 147. Psalm 147. 147. I'm about done here. 147. We say, I'll never be the same. Well, we might not be the same when we need soothing, when we need calm. But look what He says. Psalm 147 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I'm just telling you, He's true to His Word. I'm not reading a novel. I'm not reading a biography. I'm not reading an autobiography. I'm reading the words off the mouth of God that are true and that He performs and that He is bound by His own Word because of His purity, because of His holiness and righteousness, and He cannot go back on them. And He says, He heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Then that's what He does. That's what it, and only He can. People can. People can. How about Psalm 73? Psalm 73. Everybody still okay with me? Psalm 73. We'll just read one verse here. Let's drop down to verse 26. This is one of my Waller chapters. It's hard to read, so I got all the marks. All over the verses. This is where I can go. This is where I get help. Huh? Verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is the reason I keep going. He is the reason that I keep going. Now, I don't want to complain, but can I share something with you tonight? We okay? Can I be transparent real quick? Huh? Sometimes I carry a load too. Sometimes it ain't just y'all. Sometimes I carry one. We come right out of youth camp, and youth camp is a hard time. It's a burdensome time. It's a joyful time, but to have youth camp is a burden for me as a pastor. Okay? It's a burden. Right with youth camp, Abby got sick. Okay. Youth camp, Abby gets sick. This is family now. This is all family. Then Daryl, they tell Daryl that he's going to have that last treatment that he had. Okay? In September. I fall off a house in October. All right? And I still ain't over. I'll never be over falling off a house. I'm at, all right. Then, during that time, after falling off a house, my Uncle Holly has a massive heart attack and then dies. All right, so I'm dealing with family. I'm dealing with after youth camp, and then I'm dealing with Abby and Shane trying to encourage him, help them, and then Daryl, and then Holly dies. All right, and then what happened here? Evelyn died. Becky's mommy died. Anyway, I just had the 9th funeral. All right, Daryl gets sick. Daryl dies. My good friend Gabe Deets dies. Everything now. Mommy has emergency surgery. Don't know whether mommy will make it or not. Her pneumonia is worse tonight. All right, she can't breathe. Trying to heal it from the surgery. I don't know what's going to take place. All right? Now, it ain't been much let up since July.
Right.
All right? And that's not mentioned in my trips to the doctor and things that I've had to take care of, and there's some other things that I can't say because it involves other people that I ain't allowed to say. Marriage counseling and this person in trouble, that person in trouble. Sometimes the load gets a little heavy. Okay? Because there's nowhere to put it. I can't give it to you. I can't give it to you. Because some of it's yours already. Everybody understand me? And I'm not whining or complaining. I'm trying to give you a point here. So what do I have to do? The only thing I can do is understand that He's enough. And I go and I read this, that my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I say He's my sufficient God. He's my sufficient Savior. He's everything. He is everything. I'm here to tell you tonight, He's everything. You don't need nobody else. You don't need nothing else. He's real. It's real. Salvation's real. God's real. Grace is real. Mercy's real. Peace is real. Hey, there ain't nobody like my Jesus tonight. Huh? But sometimes we get mad. Sometimes we refuse to be comforted. Sometimes we doubt like Thomas. And sometimes we pray and believe, and the answer's right there, and we don't even acknowledge it. Sometimes, I think He ought to let me drive. Sometimes, I think He ought to let me. I thought this was going to be a joint effort. I thought salvation was me and Him, not Him. You know, I thought He was going to save me, then I was going to keep me. You know? We okay? Gotta hurry. Let's look real quick at the God who satisfies. And I'll let you go downstairs. How about Psalms 81? We still okay? I want to help us tonight. I want to help us that God's enough. Psalms 81. And the Lord says, this is what I would do if you would just believe. If you would just trust me, this is what I would do. Look at verse 13. We'll start there. It says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. I would have satisfied. I'd have been so satisfactory if you just went ahead and believed me. He satisfies tonight. Do you know I don't look for no other God? I don't look for no other Savior. I don't go dabble in Satan worship and Buddhism and Muslim. I don't dabble in that. Huh? I'll read just enough to witness the one. Huh? I'm satisfied with my Savior tonight. I'm satisfied that He took all my sins away. Huh? I'm satisfied. In fact, I'm like David, I'll be satisfied when I wake in His likeness. I'll be completely satisfied. But I'm pretty satisfied right now. I can call on Him, He'll answer. He'll never leave me alone. Huh? I'm learning to believe His promises. How about Psalms 107? I hope you're writing these verses down. I hope you take them home and read them and wallow in them and love them and study them. Huh? Psalms 107 verse 9, "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." He satisfies. He satisfies tonight. God is enough. He's enough. He's enough. How about Psalm 16:11? Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy." If you're full of joy, you're satisfied. "At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I just want you to know you can't beat Him. He's satisfactory. "I find no fault in Him." Huh? How about you tonight? And then, if you want to read one, and we're not trying to take it out of context in no way, shape, or form, look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. He said, "I'm the bread of life." That's what He says in John chapter 6. But here we'll start at verse 32. He said, "Didn't Jesus say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Huh? Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And it says, "Then they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst." You know why? Because He satisfies completely. But you're going to have to trust Him. And you're going to have to get in this book and find out about Him. Huh? See, you're not going to make it just listening to preaching. You're not going to make it just listening to Sunday school. You know why? Because everybody don't always come to preaching. Everybody don't always come to Sunday school. And everybody don't always come to Bible study. And you can't depend on everybody else. But you can the Lord. He's the God that's enough tonight. Huh? Now sometimes it's hard. Look at Isaiah and we'll go home. Isaiah 40. Sometimes it's just hard to do. And I know. I'm right there with you. Huh? I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm holier than thou, because I ain't. So, Isaiah 40. Huh? We'll look at verse 28. Says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" Have y'all not known that? Have y'all not known that? "There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint." See, sometimes I can't. "He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Sometimes I can't. But He can. You know why? Because He's a God that's enough. Father, thank You for a wonderful word. Help us to use it. And help us to read it. And help us to hide it in our heart. And God, help us to believe that You're the God that's enough. In Jesus' name, and amen.